Hey, friends. I didn't even see you come in there. Hi, James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, Solutions Watch, July 2024. Here's a story. The other day I was talking to Vinny Caggiano, my friend, my guitar teacher, and my fellow confidant in the independent media space, and we were chit-chatting about conspiracy stuff, as we are wont to do when we're not talking about music theory, and I don't remember how, but somehow or other, the subject of astrology came up, and I said to Vinny, hey Vinny, have you ever heard of what the BSC was doing in New York in 1940-41? And he said, no, I don't think so. And so I told him the story about William Stevenson, the head of the BSC, the British Security Coordination Office, that was in New York around 1940-41. At that time, working feverishly under the direction of MI6, authorized by Winston Churchill himself, to use misinformation, disinformation, propaganda campaigns, blackmail, sabotage, whatever, in order to get the United States of America into World War II, to come save the British bacon, as it were. And, well, they had some pretty wacky, amazing ideas. And so I opened my copy of The Irregulars, Roald Dahl and the British Spy Ring in Wartime Washington by Janet Conant. And I opened to page 80 and read to Vinny, to shake Americans out of their complacency, the BSC went to fantastic lengths. They even hired the Hungarian astrologer Louis de Vol, whose prognostications had once caught the fancy of the Führer himself, to prophesy Hitler's imminent doom and undermine public confidence in the invincibility of the Nazis. Stevenson staged a press conference on August 6, 1941, at which the astrologer unveiled his predictions to the astonished reporters. Hitler's horoscope showed that his fall was certain. Stevenson arranged for de Vol's revelations to become regular tabloid fodder over the next several months, and saw to it that his forecasts were echoed by shamans in other parts of the world, including an eminent Egyptian astrologer in Cairo, and a Nigerian priest in a remote village. Stevenson even went the extra mile, making sure that one of de Vol's prophecies, that an ally of Hitler's would soon go mad, was fulfilled 10 days later, when a French naval officer who had escaped from Martinique reported that the island's Vichy French governor had gone insane. With his fateful vision legitimized, the newly celebrated astrophilosopher, as the papers dubbed him, toured the country, declaring Hitler's coming defeat at meetings, over the air, and in widely syndicated newspaper columns. According to the BSC history, the British found the Americans surprisingly easy to manipulate. It is unlikely that any propagandist would seriously attempt to influence politically the people of England, say, or France through the medium of astrological predictions. Yet in the United States, this was done with effective, if limited, results. A remarkable little tidbit of information, I think you will agree. And after I finished reading that to Vinny, I swear to God, he said, James, I'm glad you read books. And you know what? That is a very astute observation, because that is the type of tidbit, the bit of historical knowledge that is right there. It's on the table. It's extremely interesting and very relevant to point out in this age of misinformation and disinformation scare campaigns, to remember that the biggest, most incredible, most elaborate misinformation schemes are cooked up by the British and American and Israeli and all of the other Western intelligence agencies misleading the public. In this case, the British misleading the Americans and finding it surprisingly easy to do so. Because what average person would think that this astrophilosopher who's suddenly in the news was being deliberately planted and promoted and press conferences staged, predictions being planted in other parts of the world to make it seem like this guy was on the up and up, prophecies coming true, and all of this as part of a manipulation campaign. It's an incredible little fact, and it is the kind of fact that you would probably only find by reading a physical book. You're not going to find little factoids like that in whatever the latest trending news story going across the wires, if you're watching some talking head on some streaming video platform talking about the news of the hour, the news of the minute these days. You're probably not going to get that kind of historical context that I think is important to really put things in perspective and to get people to see things in new ways. And that is the kind of insight you can glean by reading a physical book. That is not the only thing to read, to bring the reading of physical books to your attention. As I have mentioned before in a previous edition of Solutions Watch, you will note that, of course, I highlight those passages that I think are particularly important. And as I talked about in the highlighter episode of Solutions Watch, I did talk about why it is important to do that, because the physical act of highlighting is actually one way of helping to imprint that information in your noggin. I am more likely to recall information that I have physically scanned across the page with the highlighter and made the mental note, I better think about this. And then, of course, it is easier to access when you're flipping through the book and looking for a certain key passage. So that is an important part of the tactile experience of reading a real, actual physical book, not a digital book, not an ebook, not an audiobook, but an actual physical book. The tactile sensation of it, the actual reading of pages, actually does, I think, promote not only attention, but also actual recollection. I think it's easier to remember facts that you have read and actually highlighted up on the physical page. But yes, of course, it's also good for attention span as well. In this age of the attention span of a goldfish, I wish people had the attention span of a goldfish these days. Now they have the attention span of a TikTok viewer, which is about 2.5 seconds before you flip off to the next 2.5 second dance meme or whatever is trending on TikTok these days. I'm glad I don't know and will never hopefully find out. But yes, to sit in quiet contemplation with a book, to be able to be completely apart from the distractions, the bells, the whistles, the nonsense that is always one swipe away when you're on your digital device. And also, we know that the Library of Alexandria is on fire right now, that they are in a concerted effort trying to burn down all of the repositories of information online, including, of course, the Internet Archive, which, as I'm sure people in the audience who use the Internet Archive know, that is in trouble, and there are a lot of books on the Internet Archive lending library that are not available for lending now because they are still in the midst of that lawsuit with all of the publishers. So this incredible Library of Alexandria is a digital ephemera that could disappear at the flip of a digital switch, and CrowdStrike comes in, hold my beer. Well, I still have my physical books on my physical bookshelves, and unless and until the firefighters from Fahrenheit 451 come in and start lighting all the books on fire, well, these will be safe and sound in my possession. Even if the Great Carrington event happens and we lose all digital power, I will still have my books. Anyway, these are just some of the reasons why I think reading a physical, actual, real book might be in your best interests. And getting into the habit of reading a book, carving out a space, even just a few minutes, hopefully more than that, but even just a few minutes of every day where you can sit in quiet contemplation of a book. It doesn't have to be a deep book of history and big serious things. It could be a pleasure reading, which in my case would be Proust or Faulkner or something. Okay, not everyone's cup of tea, but whatever it is, I think the actual act of reading is probably a good habit to get into. And hey, if you need more motivation and inspiration to do so, well, I'm going to provide you some, because here's a little tidbit for you. I am going to be taking the month of August, well, I'm going to say I'm taking it off in the sense that I will not be posting to the website in the month of August. I'm going to be taking an August hiatus from the Corbett Report. I am not going on vacation. I'm not jet-setting around the world. I'm going to be sitting here sweating in the sweltering hot climes of Western Japan, reading some books and other things in preparation for some projects that I am working on, hint, 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 that will reveal themselves in the fullness of time. I will be working very hard behind the scenes, but I will not be posting to the website in August, so if you have some extra time on your hand, rather than fill that up with more digital ephemera by some other content creator online, why not pick up a book? If you're going to the beach this summer, or you've got some time to relax, try relaxing with an actual physical book. Anyway, I hope that this will serve as inspiration, motivation for those who need it, and for those who are regularly reading, well, you know what I'm talking about. At any rate, that's going to do it for this very simple, very straightforward edition of Solutions Watch. Thank you for sharing your time with me. I will be talking to you again in the very near future, posting a few more things before the aforementioned August hiatus kicks in. But anyway, I just want to let you know that I will be taking August, to do some work behind the scenes. On that note, I'm going to leave it there for today. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com.